middle of nowhere to the center of everywhere. It's Beneath the Surface with Sean Murphy and Corey Cooper.
Welcome, welcome. My man Drew Chacon. Chacone. Chacon. How do you pronounce that? Chacon?
Drew Chacon.
Chacon. So I'm here in Fort Myers with my good buddy Drew. And normally on this podcast, I have Corey Cooper to kind of lead things, and I'm the sidekick. But today I'm in charge,
taking pole position.
So I'll do my best. Welcome to another episode of Beneath the Surface. And today, what we're doing right now, it's pretty exciting. We're on a kind of a 2-week trip around Florida, visiting with some of our ambassadors and dropping off gear and doing photo shoots and video content, and then coming back with a big pile of yummy content.
Christmas in May.
Well,
here's your brand new paddleboard.
Yeah, that's it, man. So anyway, we met up last night. I brought you your new Rackham Verge Camo Arrow.
Right after we locked the keys in the van.
I forgot my XLR cables for the mics. I broke a fishing rod. And this is all like in the first like 5 minutes.
we're off to a fantastic start.
Fantastic start. All, kind of par for the course. So set us up, man. Talk about where we are right now.
We are in Fort Myers, Florida, kind of southwest Florida. I live in Whiskey Creek and right outside of, Sanibel Island. It's about where one bridge away, but Gulf of Mexico. That's where we're at. Mm-hmm. Coosahatchee River.
We don't want to give too much information away, but it's super fishy out back.
This time of year is about as good as it gets for me. There's a bunch of little tarpon cruising around, and the snook are coming down the river and hitting the beach, so we're going to head out to Sanibel next and see if we can find a few snook laid up in clear water, and it's going to be a good day, Tater.
It's going to be good. It's already been a good day. We did Dawn Patrol down the river. It looks like a scene out of, to me, it looks like a scene out of, I don't know, Jumanji or Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's, if you can picture like these small kind of windy, dark water, narrow rivers with lots of mangroves, air plants. The kind of plants you see.
Tidal creeks. Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm amazed by just the plant life alone. I mean,
there's all kinds of crazy stuff back there. Otters and manatees.
Snakes,
we saw a few snakes. I love snakes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and, there's just a lot of life if you go slow and be quiet. That's the key. You know, if you come
Are you looking at me when you're saying that, like I'm loud or something?
No, I'm just saying, you know.
People, wink, wink.
People come tearing up in these little estuaries with the motors going, talking loud. No, there's never any fish in here. We never see anything. And, you know, those fish feel you from a half mile away with the wakes and noise and everything else. But yeah, on a paddleboard it's way easier.
And last night when Tyler, our videographer, and I came in, it was sunset, and you took us real quick on a canoe.
Figure it was easier than putting all three
I was
of us
on the
paddleboard.
So I'm on the front seat of the canoe with my camera. Tyler's behind me in the only other seat with his brand new video gear, and you're standing up on the stern paddling, and it was super sketchy, and I had a pretty good sized snook blow up next to the canoe and almost scared the shit out of me and almost knocked us off the board or I almost panicked, and
it was close. it was touch and go for a minute there, but we got her done. If you don't stand up you can't see, so
that's right.
I always stand up in the canoe, or that's why I paddleboard so much. It's so much easier for me to see what's going on.
Yeah, and to tag along onto that statement, tell us a little bit about, you know, so you've been with boat, like using our stuff for quite a while now. Tell us what works for you best, and kind of what's your setup.
I like the widest, most stable board I can put my hands on, not because it's difficult to paddle any of the boards, but it's kind of a rodeo when the tide's moving one way, the wind's moving another. You're trying to cast, manage fly line, and then you catch a fish. So I like the Rackham, the inflatable, because that one, for me, is the easiest to manage. It's a wider board. It doesn't have a lot of hull slap. It's just mm-hmm. comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of other boards you get on, and if you get into heavy wind, it's pretty loud, and it doesn't send off a pressure wave if you go slow. I mean, that's the key. You know, it's kind of like bow hunting. If you're moving too quick, you're not going to see anything. You're not going to be effective. So I find myself putting the paddle down and going as slow as I can possibly go.
Yeah, and that's something where we live, the fish aren't as skittish up North Florida. I guess we have bigger bodies of water. So the bigger body of water, the less pressure you're going to put on these fish, and the narrower kind
of... Yeah, narrower, and, it's not as deep. So if you're in fish in skinny water and you send a big pressure wave off the side of the paddleboard, they feel you before they hear you. Even if you're being quiet, they can feel your presence. So that's really important. Someone told me one time they bow hunt in bare feet. And I said, well, isn't that crazy in Florida? And yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that'll stick you, bite you, stab you here. And he said, well, listen, like if you're afraid of and of stepping on something and not watching where you're putting your feet, you're going too fast. And that's kind of the same with fly fishing off a paddleboard. If you're going too fast, you're going to spook fish. And, you know, you're on them before you know it, and you can't slow down, you can't make the cast. So for me, going at a snail's pace, a crawl, is the best possible scenario and how I'm most effective on a paddleboard, at least for snook and, you know, baby tarpon, redfish kind of stuff, where you're sight fishing them.
Interesting. And also, so fly fishing, I'm not a fly fisherman, so I'm fascinated by kind of your switching flies. Does that change a lot for the type of fish you're fishing for here? You have some go-to patterns that you use, or does it vary?
You know, a lot of times you're matching the hatch or matching the minnow, you're trying to emulate what they're eating, but you know, there's your kind of generic or, you know, unitaskers, if you will, ubiquitous bait fish fly or shrimp pattern. Those work pretty well for snook and tarpon, things like that. If you're seeing a lot of finger mullet, you might throw a mullet pattern or something along those lines. But, you know, a lot of times if they're not eating, I tend to go smaller and darker.
Okay.
So clear water, that's a different story. Or you're throwing like whites and yellows, maybe things that are a little more translucent and look more natural. Obviously, the fish can see it better in clear water, so they get a better look at it. But in dark water or stained water, I tend to throw darker colors that silhouette, that are, you know, a little bit easier to see, blacks and grays. Stained water, purple works really well. For this time of year, the fish are eating big, you know, white baits and pinfish, so my flies tend to be larger. In cooler water, I go the opposite direction, little shrimp flies and things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just you trial and error, you figure out what's working. For the most part, if you try to match the water color or the bottom color, it's a good place to start. Everything that they're trying to eat is trying to hide, not to get eaten. So yeah. If you're fishing over grass, put on something that's the same color as the grass.
Interesting.
For the most part.
And you have written 15 books
yep.
so far, and you're on your 16th book?
Yeah, something like that. I think that's what it is. Writing one now on permit flies. Another one. I think this is the third one on permit flies. But they're all pattern how-to books. Most everything I do is, step-by-steps teaching people how to either fish from a paddleboard or tie this fly or, you know, someday maybe a cookbook. But I find the how-to stuff is...
It's awesome.
It's my favorite.
We were talking yesterday, and you said you wanted to teach people how to fish off a paddleboard because often you're teaching people how to tie flies or throw a fly, but throwing a fly on a paddleboard is it's a whole nother ball game.
It's like juggling. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. So mm-hmm. a lot of it is managing the board and the fly line and how to position yourself, what to do with the paddle, you know, how, like when you see fish, how to stop the board to get set up for a shot. So that's something I'm working on now with my friends, Clint and June at Blackfly Lodge. We're trying to put together some schools. I've done the fly tying and fly fishing schools in the past, Strip Strike University. We did that at Abaco Lodge, and some we've done some in Argentina. But this year we're going to do a fly tying, fishing, paddleboard fishing school. So kind of teach the folks there how to navigate and just be effective fishing and being comfortable on a paddleboard, because it is such an effective tool stealth wise and go anywhere. Use a larger boat as a mothership and get to the places mm-hmm. you want to go. But for like bonefish and a lot of those species where you're looking for tailing fish, it's just a lot of fun to kind of creep up on them with the board.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm curious about is, you moved down from New York 2003.
I did, yep.
And you weren't always a book writer and a fly tier, but somehow you've managed to, I mean, we look at you live in a beautiful house on this creek, and somehow you've managed to figure out how to, and I'm sitting in this room that's filled with, like, it's amazing. It's like a fly shop. And there's 15 fly rods above me. There's spinning rods to my right. There's it's heaven. It's like you've somehow figured it out. You fish every day. You study these fish. You're really doing research, is the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And then you're using that. You're studying these fish. You're writing your books, and you're testing. And you've got your laboratory that you test out your flies.
Sure.
And then you have kind of, from what I've talked, when I've talked to people outside of wherever I go, they know you. You are well known, and the fly people are in line waiting for your flies. So how did that jump kind of happen?
Well, I think it was more of like a lateral move. I always had other things going on at the same time. It was a passion that slowly, I guess, migrated to a career. When I moved to Florida in 2003, I was in the mortgage, title, and real estate industry. So I did that for a number of years and started tying flies and for some friends and guides, and they urged me to write an article, which I by no means would have considered myself a writer back then. So they kind of coached me along, and here's what you do, and let's take some pictures of how to do it. And we submitted, they dragged me into it, and here's what we got to do. We got to, you know, find the editors in the front of the magazines and submit it to them. And we did. And my first article got bought by, Fly Fishing and Saltwaters magazine. And that was just kind of the start of it. Once I kind of had the bug, if you will. They asked me if I would do another one. So I started, you know, they're eating this pinfish or they're eating this shrimp. I'll come up with a fly for that. So you tinker and come up with what you think is an original pattern. That's the hardest part of this. You know, everything's been done before. Mm-hmm. But anyways, you do your pattern and you submit it. And after a few of those, I think I got a call from Stackpole Books, and they wondered if I would be willing to write a book. So I sent over, I think, 7 or 8 chapters, and we agreed to contract to write a book. So that was my first book, Feather Brain. But, you know, during that time period, I was a supply chain logistics consultant for Heinz and Sara Lee and Campbell's and all some of those brands. Mm-hmm. After, you know, the mortgage industry went sideways in 2007, and I did a few other things. I worked in sales, consulting, and the fly fishing and book writing and fly tying and teaching was always there. It just wasn't full time yet. You know, I was just building that piece up until I could slowly transition mm-hmm. out of the other stuff. But yeah, the writing, it I never, ever would have said I'm going to be an author. You know, I started writing a newsletter, and that was the hardest part for me, is every month, month in and month out, coming up with content. It's still very difficult every month to come up with a new fly pattern or, you know, information to give out. But that's how it all started. You do a little bit each month, and the volume of work grows, and it gets easier and easier. And once you kind of have a name and reputation out there, people say, oh, yeah, here's my fly. Why don't you interview me? Mm-hmm. And that's what it started to become. So I think I'm on month 104 or 105 of the newsletter. And those flies help you kind of collect your thoughts and say, oh, we've done a bunch on bonefish or tarpon or permit. We should probably pick a few other popular patterns or ones that folks want to learn how to do, and we target those and we package it all up and put a book out. But that's how it all started, was writing an article for Fly Fishing in Salt Waters.
That's awesome. And also, you're an amazing cook. I would say chef, but at home, a very high level home cook. And I think some kind of book should
in the works.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I have been working on a cookbook of my recipes and recipes from friends and places I've traveled, the chefs at lodges and things. So I've been slowly compiling all that information as well. That's harder for me, you know.
When you do that, please let me take pictures of the food, because I've always wanted to do a cool kind of rustic, photo book on recipes. I think that'd be insane.
Consider that done.
Yeah. You know? So, right on, man. Well, thank you so much for spending your time with us today, and I'm excited. We're about to head out to Sanibel and see if we can't run into some big girls big girl snook. So what? Slip of the tongue, I guess.
Yeah.
Some big snook running the beaches, and see if we can get some nice water shots. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
And yeah, man. Well, thanks again, Drew.
My pleasure.
And thank you all for joining us again. And if you're into fly fishing and you don't know who Drew Chacon is, then you need to get on that. The master. When I mention your name, people trip out like, you know Drew? Can you get me this? It's like some, you know?
No.
Because I'm not a fly fisherman. To me, you're just my buddy.
Yeah.
And I don't realize the depth of your legend.
I don't know about that. You know, maybe if it was something super cool, you know, like a professional athlete of some kind. But it's I'm just a fisherman and a guy that likes to teach people how to do this stuff. And let's go make a sandwich and we'll cook something, you know.
It's pretty cool,
it's just,
man.
A lifestyle, and, I guess.
Yeah, and also we've taken a lot of pictures and video of Drew's setup on his board. He's made a couple of small customizations, which are very easy, and I think it's really great ideas for like putting your, where to put your paddle when you're casting, and how to kind of, he uses a mushroom anchor to kind of stop himself if he hooks a big fish.
There's actually an ebook I wrote on that. It's free. You can get it on my website, Salty Fly Tying, download it. But it has my whole setup and why I do the things I do, and how to set your board up for the way I like it anyways. But yeah, head over to saltyflytying.com, download your ebook on how to set up your paddleboard, and get started.
Perfect, man. Thanks again, Drew.
Of course, my pleasure.